Welcome to Know Your Risk Radio on 97.3 Cairo FM and AM 770 KTTH. Know Your Risk Radio is hosted by Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Know Your Risk Radio is brought to you by Bulwark Capital, helping families navigate the ever-changing and often volatile markets. Know Your Risk Radio starts now. Here's your host, Zach Abraham.
And we are back. Thank you so much for joining us for another of the most scintillating hours in finance radio. And we got a lot to talk about, but I'd be remiss. I was telling the OGs of 770 AM, the station we originally started on. We're on both. We're simulcasting, if you didn't know. That's the official term, simulcasting. I never thought I would be single-casted, let alone simulcasted. So we're going places. Anyway, I'd be remiss if I did not bring up Independence Day. It's got me feeling patriotic. Haven't felt patriotic in a little bit, guys. I gotta cop to you. I don't know. It's probably got something to do with people burning down statues that have absolutely nothing to do with racism, like the elk. The poor elk that was torched down in Portland, apparently he's a symbol of racism, the patriarchy, poor guy. Anyway, and then that same madness reflecting in the financial markets. You know, the fact that we used to have free markets. I mean, it's a bit of an illusion, right? I mean, the Fed's been interfering for years, government intervention, all that kind of stuff. It's not new, right? But, I mean, they have taken over the corporate bond market. It's not a free market. And before I get the emails and the phone calls and the letters saying I'm being too negative, again, it's not negativity. It's not negativity. It is what it is. We do not have a free bond market. So again, I just haven't been feeling exceptionally patriotic. But we should be. And quite on, here's the other thing. Is this a, this could be a racist holiday. Right? It could be. Right? Because We've decided that America's by de facto down to its roots, right? A racist organization or political apparatus or whatever you want to call it. And so the celebration of the birth of that apparatus, right? This could be our last 4th of July. I mean, it sounds like the Washington Redskins are changing their name. Maybe this is our last Independence Day. Who knows? We wild times, right? A little bit tongue-in-cheek there, but at this point, I mean, you can't say anything's off the table. I mean, in financial markets, and it's something, before we get in the market update, I think this is something that I really want people to understand. And I had an experience, well, I don't want to get into that. We'll talk about that later. But I really want people to understand that all these things are tied together. It is not a mistake that the madness we are seeing in financial markets, the madness we are seeing with government spending, the madness we are seeing with Federal Reserve intervention, it is not a mistake that that madness is coinciding, right, or colliding with an unprecedented, well, the 60s were pretty wild too, but this crazy cultural time. In the 60s, they did not think that the only thing big cities needed to do was to get rid of the police department. So, I mean, you are seeing this unprecedented madness, and this is the way things work. This is how it works. Everybody views these things as separate. Well, the stock market doesn't. No, the stock market is reflecting what's going on in the culture in an odd way. Right? Because everybody, well, the stock market looks positive. What's going on in culture is negative. What's going on in the stock market is not positive. Okay, now, look, I'm not allergic to making money. If you have been making money, I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying it's off the hinges. And that gets us to another one. 4th of July. This is a historic day, not just due to the fact that it's the birthday of this great country, and I'm still going to refer to it as a great country. Got issues like everybody else, but it's the best game in town as far as I'm concerned. But another thing that has happened, and I'm willing to bet you that none of the listeners out there are aware of this. A big day, as a matter of fact, it was Wednesday, officially, where the spread between value stocks, traditionally referred to as value stocks, and growth, have spread to the widest margin in 200 years of financial data. 200 years. You are seeing the biggest bifurcation in value in history. We have surpassed the almost all-time high in 1999 as far as that bifurcation. And I believe the bifurcation that we're looking at now was in 1904 or something. That's the one we just beat, something like that. In the last 200 years. Now, on top of that, again, might be kicking a dead horse here, but record valuations right across the board. Debt levels surging. This will be the first recession. I believe this will be the first recession on record where we saw a rise in corporate debt. Don't hold me to that. I know it's right in there. Maybe there's another one before. I don't think so. And that's the odd deal, right? Recessions are typically default cycles. Not this time. And for those of you out there that are COVID apologists, this has to do with COVID. Yeah, COVID was the catalyst, guys. But again, we've talked about this before. We saw the economy slowing last year. United States was doing better than everybody else. But the thing that really irritates me here is that the debt is not being discussed. And COVID was the pinprick, right? No question about it. But the debts were, you just can't keep stacking on that much debt. And the crazy thing is that this recession at this point, now I don't think that this is going to be the way it plays out. And contrary to what a lot of people believe now is we're in the clear, this is the recovery phase, right? We're going to recover with record high stock valuations and prices. Yeah, call me a skeptic. But really what we saw and what we've seen this year, the disruption, it is a debt problem, meaning that companies were so levered up that the minute they ran into this, it was game over. And it didn't take 3 months, right? It didn't take 3 or 4 months of COVID for these guys to get in financial trouble. The minute revenue stopped, they're done. And again, you can see it in your own life, right? If you've ever been levered to the hilt, and you've ever been irresponsible with your own personal balance sheet, and I have, right? I'm not indicting you, right? Right out of college, you know, you think you're going to make, you know, 200 grand a year right out of college, right? Everybody thinks that. I'm just saying that even in your own, you know, it works as long as the income keeps cranking, right? As long as the revenue keeps rolling through the door, you know, we can rob Peter to pay Paul. We can keep it rolling. It's just when that disruption happens and then boom. And so my whole thing is a serious recession would have knocked these guys off too, right? You're looking at companies that just had no wiggle room. And one of the reasons, and nobody publicly is talking about this. You're certainly not going to hear this on CNBC. And CNBC has just been gold lately. There was an article the other day talking about, now, and I don't know if you guys have noticed this, but several of these IPOs, I mean, maybe there's been a couple that haven't launched successfully, but we're back to that. And I'm not saying it's the same, because in 99, we saw it for like, you know, 2 years or a year and a half, where you had multiple IPOs going out a day that were up 100%. But just go look at IPOs. Go look at IPOs over the last 3 weeks. First of all, yes, you've got an IPO surge popping up in the middle of a recession. And I think I hear other people saying that as a point of optimism. Let me just say, and this is part of the market update, guys, by the way. Kind of a rough transition, but just wanted to let you know. We are market updating right now. But one of the drivers of IPOs generally is optimism, right? People want new issues and things like that. It's an odd time. And it makes sense, right? You'd expect to see less IPOs, less appetite for new businesses during recessions. That doesn't happen in a recession that also happens to be a stock mania at the same time. But one of the things that we're seeing is everything that IPOs, and I'm painting with a broad brush here. All the IPOs that we have looked at and noticed and all that kind of stuff, maybe there are exceptions. But what we are seeing is these IPOs come out and boom, just shooting up 100, 136, 140%, 120% in a single day. And there was a CNBC article that IPOs are getting priced irresponsibly. They're not factoring in demand for the shares. And I just started laughing. If you're going to do an IPO, it's just an odd way to look at it, meaning that when you do an IPO, basically that is the company selling shares to the investment banks who then sell them to their clients or selling them directly to their clients and placing those shares, selling. It's the initial public offering. You're selling stock out into the public. And that is sort of the breaking of the champagne on the side of the boat, right on the hull of the boat. Now you're a publicly traded company. And what you're hoping to do is you're hoping to generate capital, right? You're going to sell them and we rate your stock and we price it and the investment banks price it out and they come to an agreement and they check the demand they've got. And demand plays a role. But the whole point of the article was these things are being horrifically mispriced because they're going up 130% on the... No, it's not evidence of mispricing, okay? It's evidence of mania. Now, could there be some mispricing going on? Yeah, there could be. I haven't gone and broken these things down. What I'm telling you, though, is Wall Street hasn't just forgotten how to price these things. Right? Well, Wall Street hasn't just forgotten. These investment banks didn't forget how to price equity. It's just this insatiable demand. One of these companies this week, Lemonade, their stock, I believe, was up 136% on the number, first day of trading. Now, I don't know anything about them, okay? So, big caveat in here. But they're an insurance company. And I haven't dug into them, so I'm not even sure what kind of insurance company they are. I just looked at it really quick. So, I'm not giving you a recommendation one way or the other. But it's an insurance company. But check it out, though. It's an online insurance company. So, technically, pardon the pun, technically, it's tech. And if it's tech, baby, matter of fact, Jerry and Darren are in the, well, they're not on the, they're in the Zoom studio, right? Because we are, once again, broadcasting from the COVID bunker at Bulwark Capital headquarters. So I think, this got us to thinking, that I think that there is a name change in the works for Bulwark. And furthermore, I'm going to advise the people at Bonneville, and I'd expect you guys to go take this message to them, you know, some of my sage advice. I think we're going to change our name to Bulwark Capital Tech, right? I think it's good for a good 5X pop on the company's valuation. I'm going to sell it to somebody else, and I'm going to retire rich, guys. That is the new investment strategy, and I think that's right. And I think Bonneville should do the same. And Jer, I know your wife's in real estate. I think she should start calling it real estate tech, right? Just throw it on there. It's like the dot-com craze. You guys thank me. Just pay me some royalties down the road, right? Because we're all going to be bloody rich. Can't wait. So anyway, we'll get into more of the technicals, but just the historic spread between value and growth. We have never had it spread this big. Okay, now, we're going to get into this a little bit later on the next segment where we talk about bad risk management. But you guys, you have to know this, okay? Because this is a tale as old as time. When you see divergences that big in asset classes that large, meaning tech isn't a sector, right? We're not talking about, value isn't a sector. We're not talking about coal mines that are going out of business, right? We're talking about stocks that span all different industries, but just aren't technical growth companies. Now, a lot of these companies are still growing. I've told the story of PACCAR, a local business that we invested in 4 years ago. Great business, builds Kenworth, Peterbilt trucks, very responsible management, clean balance sheet. We bought their stock in 2016 because we thought Donald Trump was going to get elected. We thought it would be a boon for business. People would need more trucks. There'd be more construction, all that kind of stuff, right? Well, that's exactly how it played out. PACCAR's sales surged. Over the last 4 years, PACCAR's revenues had increased by 50%. In 4 years, an industrial company, 50%. They increased their dividends. They did special dividend cash payouts, made their balance sheet better, basically had no net debt on the balance sheet, had as much cash as they had debt or close to it. I mean, very clean. Revenues went up 50%. You know what the stock did? Did nothing. Didn't move. Company got way more valuable. Company produced more profit, more revenue, more dividends, everything. Nobody cared. Why? Wasn't tech. And when you see divergences this large, guys, even our own clients, I'm having this conversation. It's not easy to be a value investor right now. As a matter of fact, value investing shops, we saw several new messages or alerts that were put out this week Several value shops, several value funds, several value mutual funds, hedge funds are closing up shop. Can't get any capital. Nobody wants in value. When you see divergences in investing like this, they never, ever last. And as a matter of fact, whatever is on, we call it alligator jaws. You pull up a chart, show the valuation in tech and growth type stocks, then show the valuation in value type stocks, and we call it alligator jaws, right? They split open. Those jaws always close, okay? Either one comes down, one comes up, or the one that's, you know, or they come together, right? Point is that this divergence cannot continue. How much longer can it last? I don't know. But it's never been wider than it is now. And chasing the things that everybody else wants is going to get you wrecked. What do we want to do in investing? We want to own the things that are going to do well over the next 5 to 10 years. And unfortunately, right now, investors all over the world, not just retail, they are paying ridiculous prices for things that have already done well. Okay, that means you are paying for past performance, not future. Are a lot of these companies bad? No, they're great businesses. The problem is that they are pricing in the next 15 years of growth, assuming that the companies continue to be successful, assuming, right, there's all these assumptions built in. And I'm just telling you, I'm not going to pick out individual companies, but I'm going to tell you when you get valuations this rich, and we thought they were rich 3 years ago. They were historically. Little did we know, right? Little did we know. But when you get them this rich, when companies are increasing revenue 50%, improving balance sheets, and the stock isn't going anywhere, the only thing that's changing is the valuation is going down. Guys, it's brutal to own it. It's brutal to own it. But isn't it like everything else in life? That when you're doing the right thing, most often you're going to look like an idiot at the beginning. It's easier to go with the crowd. Now, you need to be diversified, right? I'm not saying all value all the time. But I'm even hearing it from our clients. Value's dead. Exactly. That's the point, guys. That's the point. It was like shopping for a house in 2010. Yes, I did that. Why? Because it's cheap. That's the whole bloody point. Right? You don't want to buy it. You go in there buying this stuff with the valuation. You're making somebody else's investment, right? You're cashing somebody else out. And kudos to them for getting in there at the bottom, right? Kudos to the guy that went out there and bought Tesla at $50 a share. I mean, I think it's a complete dumpster fire. I think it's going to end in tears. I think there's very, very pot there. The red flip. We've talked about Tesla enough. But hey, truth be told, I wish I'd have bought it at $50 a share and held it to $1,200. It's pretty remarkable. Other one, we talked a little bit about it last week, but this Wirecard fraud, again, guys, keep your eyes out for fraud. You're going to keep seeing more of it popping up. We've been talking for 2 or 3 years. It seems like more frauds are popping up all the time. Okay, you're going to keep seeing it. Wirecard fraud. Remember, they said they had $1.9 billion missing from the balance sheet. Surprise, surprise. And we said this at the time. Missing, funny way to put it. It's not there. It was never there. It's a complete fraud. CEO's been arrested. I think the CFO is still on the run. You're going to see more of these frauds popping up. Okay? So keep an eye out for that. And then the retail madness continues. We're actually going to do our next segment a little bit on retail madness and risk management because it has been thrown out the window. And to be fair, I don't think Robinhood's corporate mandate is proper fiduciary, you know, responsibility. I don't think their corporate mandate was risk management. And it's just going nuts. I mean, Robinhood, you got to see that. The retail investing and the retail exuberance is insane. And I've got some anecdotal but actual stories and some evidence to share with you. And then the jobs number, right? Blowout jobs growth. Guys, okay, first of all, when you've lost 38.5 million jobs in an economy and you get 4 million back in a week, that's not jobs growth, guys. That's people, that's recovering a small fraction of what you've lost. We told you all along that when they turn the economy back up, you're going to see what looks like a V-shaped recovery, but it's going to peter out. If you look at the economic data, that V is already rounding. It's already lost its V-shape. Now, am I saying we're going back down? No, I don't know. I'm just saying, just mark my words. We'll check back 6 months, a year from now. I'm not being pessimistic. I'm just telling you, you cannot instantly bounce back, or even in the course of a year to a year and a half. You do not bounce back from double-digit unemployment to record low unemployment, record profit margins, record, you know, it just doesn't happen. And unfortunately, guys, I'm just going to tell you this, regardless of who you want for president, unless the fiscal, the government and the monetary, the Federal Reserve, unless they continue to do completely ridiculous, irresponsible things that will have long-term deleterious effects on investors and markets alike. Now, they're probably going to try that. I don't think it'll remain efficacious. I think the efficacy will wear off, as it always has. People forget that in the beginning of 2008, the Fed loosened up the purse strings, opened the window, right? And you saw a vicious bear market rally in the beginning of 2008. Everybody thought we were through the spring of 2008. Everybody thought we were through the eye of the storm. It was just the beginning. I personally see this period of time very much the same. How long does it last? No clue. But I think we're in very much a similar position. And then the jobs number itself, guys, economists have come out and said they're double counting. The number isn't as big as they're reporting it is. I don't think it's purposeful. I just think you get these glitches in data, especially when you're looking at movement this big, when you've lost so many jobs so fast, you reopen the economy. Just the numbers aren't as good as they look. So anyway, we got to get rolling. We got to take a quick break, but stick with us. And guys, as always, call us if you want to know how we're managing risk, if you want to know how we're lowering cost, increasing upside potential, and managing, most importantly, and I think this is going to be the most important thing over the next 2 years, unfortunately, it's managing that downside risk. If you want to know how we're doing that while lowering fees and actually increasing upside potential, give us a call, 866-779-RISK, again, 866-779-RISK. And let's also make sure we're executing some good risk management on our own. Nobody blow up your hand out there playing with fireworks. Let's be responsible. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to be right back. Stick with us. This is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770, KTTH, and 97.3 Cairo FM.
What does outside-the-box investing really look like? Schedule your free risk review with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management, and see a side-by-side comparison of your current portfolio versus one Zach would recommend. Schedule your free risk review at knowyourriskradio.com.
Hey, it's Tory Monson with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. And Zach, recently one of the largest investment banks in the country, finally published research showing why a 60-40 stock bond portfolio is outdated. This is something you've been talking about on Know Your Risk Radio for years. Now they're jumping on the bandwagon.
Dory, it certainly feels that way. This research shows exactly what we've been telling people for years now. Using bonds as the safe portion of your portfolio is a serious gamble, and now is not the time to be gambling your retirement. With Bulwark's bond replacement strategy, we'll show you how to protect your portfolio against loss, but still grow your assets. We teach you exactly how to do it in our free booklet, Common Sense Investing.
Call Zach right now to get your free copy of Common Sense Investing. Call 866-779-RISK or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement where the firm is licensed to conduct business. Bulwark Capital is a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
This is Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham. Listen to Zach uncover the truth about the financial markets with simple and honest advice to help you plan for retirement. Get your free copy of Zach's new booklet, Common Sense Investing. Go to knowyourriskradio.com.
Hey, it's Tory Monson. Thursday, July 9th at 3 p.m., right after the big show, I'll be joining Brian Ott Scott with 525 Advisors for his live webinar. You'll learn all about the new long-term care plans offered by Brian and 525 Advisors. They protect your savings, they protect your family, and the plan we got pays us back if we never use it. Having a long-term care plan brings certainty to a very uncertain situation. It allows you to stay in control of your care options, and most importantly, it brings peace of mind to your family during an extremely stressful situation. So reserve your spot today. Join Brian and me Thursday, July 9th at 3 p.m. I'll kick things off and share my long-term care story. Make sure to reserve your spot today at 525longtermcare.com. Brian keeps the class size small for a great learning environment. Space is limited. It's all free, and I'll be part of it as well. Go to 525longtermcare.com.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And we are back. Thank you for sticking with us. And let's get into it here. I told you we were going to do a segment on risk management. Doesn't that sound, that's a great lead-in, isn't it? Doesn't that sound, it sucks people in. You say risk management, there's nothing that gets people more excited than that. I could tell Jerry is riveted right now. Risk management, he's pumped. No, it is important. Know Your Risk Radio. Obviously, it's important, guys, but this is what the game is all about, risk management. And I want to tell you a little story about a client of mine this week. Great guy. Obviously, not going to tell you his name. But even our clients are subject to this. Now, this is the first time this has happened. And again, I think part of that is the type of client that we attract, right? You're not hearing me out there pumping Shopify and Kramer and buy, and but you know, right? It's risk management. It's long-term thinking, long-term investing. And then here's the other thing that nobody wants to hear, guys, that if you are taking a good long-term conservative view, you have to accept the fact that there are going to be periods of pain. And it's not fun. It's not fun for us, right? Running a value portfolio over the last 5 years has been like gouging my eyeballs out every day. You do all this research, you get the story right, the company does what you think it does, like PACCAR, revenues go up 50% and the stock doesn't move. It's like a kick in the gut. It's not fun. So why do we do it? Because that's what works long term. And we live in a culture now that has just been inundated, that has become so short term. Even more so in the past. I think a lot of it has to do with the internet. And I'm not saying it's right, but everything's at the tip of our fingers. We want it now. Everything is now. I want to make 100% over the next 3 weeks. And that I'm going to look at the last 2 or 3 years and I'm going to extrapolate that out and go, this guy's a bad man. You know, just keep in mind, if that's the way you're looking at things, go look at, you know, go pull up a chart of Berkshire Hathaway stock, right? Berkshire Hathaway stock, I think, is still down almost 20% on the year. S&P's down 3, 4, something like that, right? Would that lead you to believe that Warren Buffett's an idiot? I mean, it shouldn't. It is. I'm hearing other people say that. I'm hearing people say the old man's lost a step. And look, he's getting older. I'm just saying that it is not performed because Buffett's lost a step. The reason it hasn't performed is because he doesn't know what he's doing anymore. And time hasn't passed him by. It's that unless you have a story, unless you have a tech type story in this market, no one cares. There's a private company that several of our investors have involved in that is growing like a weed. It's a little private equity investment we found for our clients. You know it's a value. The irony with this one is it is a tech play, not traditional tech in the way you'd think of it, but it's a hardware company. It's actually, you know what? I'll even tell you what company it is. It's a company called Tectonic Audio Labs based out of Woodinville that is doing unbelievable things in audio, a completely new technology for speakers, and it's spreading like wildfire. And the reason is because it's better than other speaker technology, period. It blows it all away in all aspects, less energy, much better sound, all these different things. And we got in at very cheap prices. Our clients were able to invest in this company at very cheap prices because none of the other private equity and hedge fund companies are interested because it's not software. Okay. So this gets into my anecdotal story. We see it all. It's just all over the place. You know, you're looking, and the reason, remember, the reason they want tech is because it's highly profitable. It'll grow really fast. Well, this private company is growing at a rate of in excess of 100% in revenue a year, and they spit out 45, 50% margins. There he goes. Yeah, but it's not tech. Once again, you're missing the point. It doesn't have to be tech. It's not like God came down and touched the shoulder of every tech CEO and said that, you know, this is going to be a special, right? It works differently. The reason they want tech is because it grows fast and throws out fat margins. Well, so does this business, but it's not tech, right? These are other telltale signs of how you know you're in an unsustainable environment, in a bubble, because people have segmented what they're looking at. They're not looking at the merits, right? They're looking at the class. Kind of reminds me of Seabiscuit. I bet that shocks you, right, Jer? How do you rope in horse racing and Seabiscuit into a finance and investing show? Well, you got a mind that's all over the place, right? No, but remember, he didn't fit the look. He's not the right thoroughbred. He's not the right size. Not the right hand. Right? He doesn't fit the bill. Well, you passed up on a champ, right? And I think that's what a lot of people are doing right now. And I get it. It's a mania. It's a bubble. It happens all the time. It's nothing new. But a good story of risk management, and we're seeing this all over the place. Had a review with that client of mine. Great guy. And now, I'm gonna give you guys some performance numbers about this, but do not extrapolate them out. I'm not guaranteeing this. I'm not saying it's the same for everybody. So I just want to be very careful. I'm just telling you about a specific situation, okay? So this client started with us 4 years ago. Like I said, great guy. Really like him. And remember, we used that bond replacement strategy. So we replaced the bond portion of his portfolio with one of those with our bond replacement strategy that has no fees, guaranteed against loss. And we're doing a four-year review. He started with us in June of 2016. So doing his annual review. And that bond replacement strategy that's guaranteed against loss that has no fee is up 30.7% in the last 4 years alone. Okay, his bond portfolio. So he's had an average annual gain of about 7.5%. Now, I know on the show I talk about average performance. We got to be careful, but we're expecting these things to pay somewhere between 4.5 to 6. That is the historical average. We're not guaranteeing that. Just I want to be very clear. Okay, but this one did 7.5. In while taking zero risk and paying no fee. That was his bond portfolio. Now, over the same period of time, I believe the S&P is up 49. But look at the ride they had. What's funny, too, is if you look at that product up that amount, 30.7%, 30.6, 30, something like that, 30.6 or 30.7. 3 months ago, back in March, when the market dropped, you know, crazy at the lows, that fee-free insured against loss product had outperformed the S&P over that period of that four-year period of time by something like 18%. Now the S&P runs back and it's up almost 31 and the S&P's up like 49. But think about that. You made 31% over the last 4 years. S&P's up 49, but you didn't have any of that volatility. You had any fear of loss, right? No risk of losing. You're up 31% in 4 years. You outperformed a 60-40 stock bond portfolio over the same period of time. You know what the client said to me? Zach, that's not bad. You know, that worked out okay. But I think that we need to pull, I think we need to liquidate it. And I went, what? And he goes, yeah, I just, you know, stocks are hot. And I know your thoughts, but I disagree with you. Stocks are hot. We got to pull that money out of there, and I'm going to go invest it in stocks. I'm going to do it on my own. Oh, really? Hell yeah, I joined an investment club. Guys, that's what's happening right now, okay? And it is this guy's a smart guy in his 60s. Love the guy to death. Been a great client. That risk-free, fee-free investment, 100% insured against all this madness. Right, and his gain is insured too. He can't give it up. He's going to cash that out now to take that money and buy stocks at record highs. It's madness. Can you imagine that? He outperformed a 60-40 stock bond portfolio with none of the volatility, none of the risk, none of the cost. And they're going to cash it out to go buy stocks at all-time highs and all-time high valuations. And this is what we're seeing all over the place, guys. People are getting sucked in by the siren song of easy wins. Okay, and I know we've been saying that to you for a few years now. But what have we also said, right? That's where our whole risk management process comes into. Do our clients own some of those crazy high-flying stocks? Yeah, they do. But guess what? They own them inside of our algorithmic portfolio that has automatic sell stops and defense on every single position. So the minute those things lose their momentum and start cratering, boom, it kicks them out of the portfolio. That was the one that was up more than the market last year. Again, I can't give you the exact performance data because I don't want to get in trouble with the regulators. But if you want to know exactly how that algorithm's performed, give us a call. Okay? And it was up more than the market this year. It was down 7%. At the market bottom in March when the market was down 36, right? There's a way to do it. We're not all value all the time. We're not just the bond replacement strategy, but the difference with the way we do it, guys, is that your downside is protected. You don't need to be out there swinging for the fences and taking these kinds of risks. The other thing is you got to adjust your mindset. Investing by its very nature is a long-term game. What is your retirement account there for? It is to finance the rest of your life. It's not to show. Do you know how many guys I've seen or how many stories were out there about guys that got up to $1 million or $1.5 million in their investment account in 99 and they were all set to retire and then they took 85 to 90% losses and it was all gone? Am I saying that that same thing is going to happen again? No, we don't know how it. I am telling you that it's just a matter of fact, guys. You cannot maintain these valuations. You can't do it. It's not going to happen. But it doesn't mean we don't have to own them, but just own them in a structure that prevents the catastrophic loss, like that algorithmic portfolio. It's unemotional. It's run by the computer. We got a bunch of stocks in that thing right now that the computer picked that I'd never put in a client portfolio. But you can own them inside of the algorithm because you got the protection. It's not going to let a catastrophic loss happen. It can take a loss. It was down 7 in March. Market was down 36. Better way to do it, guys. And if you want to know about the algorithmic portfolio, if you want to know about that our bond replacement strategy that the other client wanted to get out of, and if you also want to know about our value portfolio, because that's going to be important too. It's not the sexiest thing to talk about right now. Nobody wants value. But again, we're not putting people, we've got it all. And if you want to know how we do it, if you want to know how we protect you against loss, give you the exposure to these things, but keep you protected, give us a call. 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. Or you can go to the radio show website, knowyourriskradio.com, bulwarkcapitalmanagement.com. You, as I tell you all the time, you can also follow me on Twitter, at KYR Radio. We put a lot of research up there and thoughts. A lot of times it's intraday. If you want to know what I'm thinking, that's assuming nobody in my family actually subscribes because they have to hear it all the time. So I wouldn't begrudge you if you didn't. But if you do, you can follow me at KYR Radio. And get the common sense booklet about that bond replacement strategy that unfortunately, again, that client wanted to liquidate, just wasn't cranking out enough. Oh, that was one where I just had to throw up my hands and walk away. Just, okay, all right, you got to do you. Anyway, stick with us. We got to take a quick break, but we'll be right back after the break, and we're going to continue this. We're going to talk more about value, and we're going to talk about the importance of discipline and the importance of yield. I got something that's really getting overlooked here. So stick with us. We'll be right back. This is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH and 97.3 Cairo FM.
Do better in bull markets. Do better in bear markets. Pay less fees in all markets. You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management. You can subscribe to Zach's free newsletter, The Bulwark Insider Report, at knowyourriskradio.com.
Hey, it's Story Monson with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. And Zach, recently, one of the largest investment banks in the country, finally published research showing why a 60-40 stock bond portfolio is outdated. This is something you've been talking about on Know Your Risk Radio for years. Now they're jumping on the bandwagon.
Dory, it certainly feels that way. This research shows exactly what we've been telling people for years now. Using bonds as the safe portion of your portfolio is a serious gamble, and now is not the time to be gambling your retirement. With Bulwark's bond replacement strategy, we'll show you how to protect your portfolio against loss, but still grow your assets. We teach you exactly how to do it in our free booklet, Common Sense Investing.
Call Zach right now to get your free copy of Common Sense Investing. Call 866-779-RISK or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement where the firm is licensed to conduct business. Bulwark Capital is a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And we are back. Thank you so much for sticking with us. Maybe you didn't stick with us. Maybe you just joined us. So in an effort to keep you, we call these hooks, right? We're going to talk about value investing and being disciplined. That's going to keep people on the station. So getting into the whole value investing thing, it's really funny because when you talk to clients about it, when you talk to average investors about it, a lot of times you get a strange reaction like, oh, you're a value. Well, what do you do? You're an idiot. Look, we all do this for a living. We are well aware of the unbelievable underperformance of value. Okay, we're all aware of it. Well, most of us, I hope I'm included in that statement most, we understand full well the underperformance. We understand the pain that has been a value investor for the last 5 or 6 years, especially when we compare it to the broader market. And if we compare it to the NASDAQ and tech, it's brutal, right? And investors have this, I hear this all the, which is shocking to me. And it's shocking to me because I've spent my life in it. And so you see the cyclicality, right? You recognize, you go, oh, this has happened before. You know, the irony is that if you were a tech stock in 2005, 2006, nobody wanted it, right? We wanted banks, wanted mortgage lenders. Think about it. We wanted houses. What does everybody want? When everybody wants the same thing and looks for, guys, that's all you really need to know, right? Was everybody talking about tech stocks in 2000? No, it was housing, right? Well, what happened? Okay. In 99, again, the other either one or I think it's either, now it's either the second or third biggest period of bifurcation between value and growth. Nobody was buying Berkshire Hathaway. What was everybody talking about? What'd they want? Tech. What happened? NASDAQ dropped 85%. Again, fast forward to 2007. What was everybody talking about then? Housing. What happened? You know, the financial crisis. What's everybody talking about now? Tech, tech, tech. But this time will be different. I don't think it will. And as a matter of fact, but like, I don't want to misconstrue anything here. Again, our clients own some of these tech high flyers, but we just do it in that algorithm that was only down 7% in March when the market was down 36. The minute those things lose momentum, it kicks them out. So I'm not saying they're bad. I'm just saying you need to own them with some level of protection. And what do we call that, guys? We call that discipline. We call that long-term thinking. We have several clients that work for some of these tech companies. And it's crazy. It's one of my clients, actually, if he's listening, truth be told, I can't say he's my favorite. He's one of my all-time favorite clients. And if the other clients, you're all my favorites. But anyway, he works for one of these tech companies. He's got a stock option position at one of these tech companies that was worth, we were laughing the other day because his stock option's worth about $300,000 or $400,000, like 6-7 months ago. We were talked the other day and it worth like 2.6. It is a matter of like months, you know, maybe it was 8 months, something like that, but just insane. And we're putting option strategies in his portfolio to hedge that risk, to not give it back. So even the people that have made these big wins, got another client that owns a big bucket of Microsoft. We're putting option strategies on that. So we're going to limit the loss. If his Microsoft stock comes down, the max he can lose is 20%. All right, it's all about risk management. You know what it costs them, both of them, to do that? Virtually nothing. Just using options to protect things. Guys, this stage of the game is all about protect. And if nothing bad happens, it's odd to say that when you've got depressionary level unemployment. We don't have depressionary level. It's 11.9. The numbers are ridiculous, guys. It's going to take probably 3 or 4 months for the unemployment number to reflect the true number. It's significantly higher than 11%. Just trust me. I'm not trying to be I'm not just trying to be negative. But you can run the numbers yourself. I mean, if you look at the numbers, roughly 50% of the American population is out of a job. Now, I didn't say 50% of the working force, but think about that. 50% of the U.S. population is currently without a job, with stock markets at record highs and record valuations. If you think something's wrong, it is. In my opinion, you're watching central banks around the world, specifically the Fed, inflating the largest asset bubble of all in history. And that is really why we stick with a value part of the portfolio, because this cycle will turn. I don't think we've got long to go. I think it's pretty soon. I think it's already turned. I just think that we're at the Wile E. Coyote phase of this, right? Where Wile E. Coyote, he's run off the side of the cliff and his feet are still going in midair and he hasn't realized there's no ground underneath him. I think that's where we're at. Now, how long will it take for the coyote to realize that he's floating? Who knows? Who knows? I mean, a lot of guys thought the tech thing was over in 98. NASDAQ doubled in 99. Could that happen? Sure. Does that mean we're going to sit on the sideline with our cash underneath the bed? No, that's my whole point, is there's a better way to do this where you can still benefit and ride it up and get some great gains. The difference is you're operating with a net underneath you. It just makes sense. And yet that's just, they don't need it. No, pull the net, man. We don't need it. Now think about the stupidity of that. Right, if you have the opportunity to have a net, when should you have it there? All times. Why wouldn't you? Right, I mean, this is unique because you've seen the plane crash into the side of the building, or excuse me, the side of the mountain. I don't want to invoke thoughts of 9/11. But you've seen the plane crash and the party's still going. That's what's really unique about this scenario. We've never really seen anything quite like this. I mean, it hasn't even quit. The DJ hasn't even stopped playing music yet. They're still popping bottles and pumping sound, right? I mean, the party's going full tilt. The other part of value that I think is really interesting that's getting overlooked. What are we living in? We're living in a ZIRP and NERP, negative interest rate, zero interest rate environments, right? And ZIRP, just so you guys know, when you hear somebody say ZIRP or NERP, it's an acronym. Zero interest rate policy, negative interest rate policy set by central banks. Okay. And what are we seeing with yields across the complex? They've dropped dramatically, right? Dramatically. It's actually historical that you see all of this strep there in economically speaking, and the spreads or the difference between the rates that high yield and treasuries are paying. I mean, and investment grade, those yields have shrunk. If you look at the yield complex, it tells you everything's fine. Yet bankruptcies are racking up by the day. It's bizarre. Right? It's a crazy environment. Thank you, Federal Reserve. But at some point, a lot of these value stocks that have been passed over are paying 5, 6, even 7% yields. Historically, you'd look at that and go, there's something wrong. If they're paying that much yield in this environment, there's something wrong with their stock. Not so. Now, some of them there are, right? And any time you see a yield in this environment over 6.5%, 7%, you should be careful. Because it could be signifying that there's something very wrong with the stock or something very wrong with the company. So I'm not saying go out. But what I am telling you is that a lot of these value stocks pay really nice dividends and they've been left for dead. And one of the things that I think is going to be very important going forward is the ability to throw yield or income off of a portfolio, because rates aren't going up anytime soon, guys. And income is going to be a real need. And that alone could be the genesis or the beginning or the match that lights the fire for the return to value. Just people waking up and realizing, wait a second, these things could fall out of bed, or maybe these tech companies do fall out of bed, like they just did, but re-fall out of bed. And people go, you know what? I need something. I need some income. There are all kinds of things that could serve as the catalyst for this upsurge in value. And if you're turning your back on it blindly, you're going to pay dearly. Okay, you're going to pay dearly. Because like I said, just go with the act. When you're hearing everybody talking about it, guys, you've missed it. It's already passed you by. Right? And just go back to 99. Go back to 2007. That analogy I was saying earlier. When everybody's talking about it, the run is almost up. And find a scenario where that's not the case. Right? Remember, it wasn't that long ago where Bitcoin, everybody was Bitcoin madness. Right? When did that start? Right around Bitcoin, you know, 14, 15,000. Bitcoin peaked at 20,000 and still in the nines. Now, I'm not saying it's bad, but I'm just saying Bitcoin then went on to lose roughly 80% of its value. These cycles repeat over and over and over and over, and investors always believe that this one's going to last. It's not. So how do you ride it up? How do you take advantage of it while not risking blowing up the rest of your life? While not risking your financial solvency in retirement, which is what you've saved all this money for? Just simple risk management strategies, guys. We can still own these stocks, but we'll do it inside of the algorithm that's got the protection built in. We can still own value and make it less painful because we're hedging the portfolio and we're looking for special things, right? And then the bond portfolio, we swap out for our bond replacement strategy that's got no risk, no fee. And like I told you, that one client was making out like a bandit. There's a better way to do it. So if you want to know how we do that, give us a call. Just educate you, walk you through it, give you a sample portfolio, tell you our fees, and we just arm you with the information. If you want to go ahead with us, great. The other thing you can do is we've got another virtual roadshow coming up on July 25th, and we walk you through it. We've condensed it down to 30 minutes, so we do a 30-minute presentation, do 30-minute Q&A. If you don't want to stay with Q&A, you can't. I was shocked, though, last time we had 100 people on there. We maxed it out, and 90, I think out of the 100, 92 or something like that stayed to the end of Q&A. If you don't want to stay, you don't have to, but we consolidated down so you sit there on your couch with a cup of coffee and you can get the presentation. It's not complex, but just arm yourself, right? Maybe you all want all of your money in that algorithm. Maybe you don't want any value. Maybe we're not going to convince you. Great. It's a great way to invest in these high-flying tech companies to benefit from this madness if it continues. But again, you've got that net underneath you. And that just goes along with everything we say, right? We can benefit. We can play. We can just do it with that net underneath us so we're not risking giving it all back and setting our lifestyle back. Again, sign up for that thing. You do it on our website. I don't know when we're going to get it up there. It should be up in the next week or so. But July 25th, next virtual roadshow. But also, you don't have to wait that long. Give us a call, 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. Go to the radio show website, knowyourriskradio.com, bulwarkcapitalmanagement.com. Get our Common Sense Investment booklet. You guys know the drill. Follow me on Twitter, at KYR Radio. Anyway, we got to run. I hope you guys have a wonderful 4th of July weekend. Stay safe. Don't burn any elk statues. They didn't do anything wrong. And we will talk to you next week. This is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH and 97.3 Cairo FM.
Thanks for listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Schedule your free risk review with Zach Abraham now at knowyourriskradio.com. Zach will be back with more Know Your Risk Radio next Saturday at noon on 97.3 Cairo FM and AM 770 KTTH.
Opinions expressed in this program are for general information purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or any specific security. It is only intended to provide education about the financial industry. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult your financial advisor prior to investing. Any past performance discussed during this program is no guarantee of future results. Any indices referenced for comparison are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. As always, please remember investing involves risk and possible loss of principal capital. Please seek advice from a licensed professional. Bulwark Capital Management is an investment advisor representative of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.